संपत्ति प्राचकाचार्य अस्थोतर सुत श्री श्रीमार शिल भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य शिल हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोपुर धाम की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री नवद्वीप श्री मायापुर धाम की जय। श्री जगन्नाथ पुरी धाम की जय। श्री मथुरा धाम की जय। श्री द्वारका धाम की जय। गंगमयी की जय। यमुनामयी की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी देवी की जय। समवेद भक्त वृंद की जय। गौर प्रेमानंदी। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। त्वं मायया त्रिगुणयात्मनि दुर्विभाव्यम् व्यक्तं सृजस्व वसितुं पसि नैथायर्भवान् अजित कर्मभिरज्यते वै। यत्स्वे सुखे व्यवहितेभिरतो नवद्य त्वं मायया त्रिगुणयात्मनि दुर्विभाव्यम् व्यक्तं सृजस्य वसि लुम्पसि तद्गुणस्त नैथायर्भवान् अचित कर्मभिरज्यते वै। यत्स्वे सुखे व्यवहितेभिरतो नवद्य त्वं मायया त्रिगुणयात्मनि दुर्विभाव्यम् व्यक्तं सृजस्य वसि लुम्पसि तद्गुणस्त नैथायर्भवान् अचित कर्मभिरज्यते वै। यत्स्वे सुखे व्यवहितेभिरतो नवद्य Ladies, material energy. Trigunaya, made up of the three modes of nature, Atmani, within yourself, Durvibhavayam, inconceivable, Vyaktam, the manifest cosmos, Srijasi, you create, Avasi, protect, Lumpasi, and destroy. Tat, of that material nature, Guna, within the modes goodness, passion, and ignorance, Staha, situated, Na, not etai, by these, Bhavan, you, Ajita, O unconquerable Lord, Karmabhi, activities, Ajite, are entangled, Vai, at all, Yat, because, Svay, in your own, Sukhe, happiness, Avyavahite, unimpeded, Abhirata, you are always absorbed, Anavadyaha, the unimpeachable Lord. O unconquerable Lord, you engage your illusory energy composed of three modes to unleash, maintain, and devastate the inconceivable manifest cosmos, all within your own self. As the supreme superintendent of Maya, you appear to be situated in the interaction of the modes of nature. However, you are never affected by material activities. In fact, you are directly engaged in your own eternal spiritual bliss, and thus you cannot be accused of any material infection. Purport. The word Durvibhavyam is significant here. The ultimate cause of the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the material world is certainly inconceivable, even for the greatest mundane scientist, who waste their lives in useless and fruitless speculation. Yet Mahavishnu, who is the secondary expansion of an expansion of the Supreme Lord Krishna, sees the entire cosmos to be like an insignificant atom. So what hope is there for foolish so-called scientists who try to understand Krishna by their ridiculous experimental power? Thus the word anavadya is used. No one can find fault or discrepancy in the body, character, activities, or instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is never materially ignorant. Therefore, he never exhibits cruelty, laziness, foolishness, blindness, or material intoxication. Similarly, because the Lord is never polluted by material passion, he never exhibits material pride, lamentation, yearning, or violence. And since the Lord is free from material goodness, he never attempts to peacefully enjoy the material world with a sublime materialistic mentality. Lord Krishna, as stated here, Sve Sukhe Vyavahite Bhirattaha, is eternally busy day and night in his transcendental abode, relishing the inconceivable loving devotion of his innumerable associates. The Lord is being embraced and is embracing. He is joking and is hearing the joking of his loved ones. The Lord is walking through forests full of fruits and flowers, playing in the nectarine river Yamuna, and taking part in his most confidential, transcendental, loving affairs with the cowherd girls of Vrindavan. These pastimes in Krishna Loka and on other Vaikuntha planets are eternal, faultless, and an ocean of spiritual happiness. The Lord never descends to the dry platform of relative material happiness. The infinite personality of Godhead has nothing to gain from anyone. Thus, fruitive activity cannot possibly exist within the Lord.
Om Agyantimirandasya Jnananjanachalakaya Chakshuru Nilidam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudha Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padahan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivasati Gaura Bhaktabhinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
We are reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 6, entitled The Yadu Dynasty Retires to Prabhas, Text Number 8. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tattvata tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti sorajana. One who understands the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance in this world and activities never takes birth again in this world, but attains to Krishna's abode. This is the principle that is especially highlighted in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord's transcendental nature. We're leading into Krishna's pastime of his apparent disappearance from this world. In this particular verse, Lord Brahma, along with the Prajapatis and his confidential associates, Lord Shiva and his confidential associates, including many different types of beings, Lord Indra, the various devatas, demigods, they have all come to Dwarka to have darshan of Lord Krishna. We read in the Vedic literatures the grandeur of the abode of Indra. And far beyond that is the abode of Brahma. Comparative, whatever apparent wealth and material opulences may be on this little earth planet, are utterly insignificant. Really, even the most expensive homes in this little planet of Earth, compared to Indra Loka, are like ghettos. They're uninhabitable. But still, we think we're so comfortable and we become very proud. But above Indraloka is Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, where everyone is performing tapasya. Great saints and sages are living very simple lives. And the happiness that they experience living in their simple lives of meditation, chanting God's names, performing yajnas, the happiness, the fulfillment, the unity, makes the happiness of Indraloka utterly insignificant, like a prison house. And above that is Brahmaloka, where everything is there. the meditation, the self-realization, plus the grandeur of Brahma. Abrahma bhuvanaloka punaravartunarjuna mamubhetyatu kunteya punarjanmanavidyate. Krishna tells us in Bhagavad Gita, from the highest planet in this material world, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest, Patala Loka, and everything in between, they are all essentially places of misery. Because Dukalayam Ashashvatam, everything is temporary. Our bodies are temporary. Our family members are temporary. All of our wealth is temporary. For that matter, the sun, the moon, the oceans, all planets are temporary. And everything on the physical level must die. And on the emotional level, when we're attached to these physical things, we have to suffer. So no one can escape suffering of this world. No matter what we do, no matter what we have, no matter what we know. But daivi heshu gunamayi mama maya turateya mame vame papachante mayam etatarantite. This maya shakti, which Krishna calls in this particular verse from Sri Bhagavad Gita, my divine energy, consisting of the three modes of nature. It's very difficult to overcome. The little jivatma in the conditioned state, it is like that little ocean trying, like that little sparrow trying to dry up the ocean with its tiny little mouth and beak. How can we possibly cross over this ocean? How could we possibly dry up all the potential miseries, birth after birth after birth? The one who takes shelter of me, Krishna says, can easily cross beyond it. What does it mean by easily cross beyond it? Because it seems not so easy. The process of learning how to take shelter is not so easy because we've been habituated. Gets in a severe accident or crash and they break their bones in so many ways, then when you to try to learn to walk again is really difficult. Bhaktivedanta Hospital, we have physiotherapy department. And I've seen, even I've done, when something is out of place, to start walking again, to start using your arms and shoulders and back again, it's very difficult, very painful. Because somehow or other, we're in this unnatural condition. But once we're restored, then it's easy to walk. And it's easy to sit and get up and all these things. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacha. Krishna tells, I am the controller of maya, of this material energy. Aham sarvasya prabhavamata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvata. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my loving service and worship me with all their hearts. So when we take these verses very seriously, we take shelter of Krishna. Taking shelter is proportionate to the degree we humble ourselves before the Supreme Personality of God. when we understand with conviction and we apply to our life with that conviction that I'm helpless without Krishna's mercy. Time is taking everything away from me. Krishna says, time I am, destroying everything and everyone in this material platform. Why does God do that? When we understand the dimension that the soul, the true self of every living being, is such ananda, eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss, and that all these changing circumstances and experiences are coming and going like winter and summer seasons. As we connect with our true self, Krishna tells, we see honor and dishonor the same, happiness and distress, pleasure and pain. We see the clump of dirt and the large clump of pure gold. We see it the same. They're both coming and going. They're just different combinations of the same material ingredients. And we give certain values to it according to our particular state of consciousness. But yogis who are living in caves, great devotees who are living on the bank of the Yamuna in Vrindavan, or great devotees who are preaching the glories of the Lord all over the world, such people, they see everything very differently. A yogi in a cave sees the little rocks in his cave more valuable than a palace. A devotee sees a tulsi bead, a little wooden tulsi bead, is more precious than the most exquisite diamond necklaces. Because the perception of our hearts is based on our realizations. It's important that we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, these great scriptures regularly. Nasta Prai Shibadrishu. So that we can understand from great personalities how they see the world. How they see the exact same things that we see. But Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanina, they are seeing through the eyes of love. So they understand what actually is of value. Nashato vidyate bhavo na bhavo vidyate shata. Great persons understand that the real truth, what is of real value, is those things that have no beginning or end. They never perish. And people who are lost in the dense fog of ignorance, they put great value in the temporary flickering yehi samsparsha japo gadhuka yonaya eva deyat yantavanta konti anateshu ramate buddha. Krishna calls them the pleasures of this world. He doesn't call them pleasures. He calls them sources of misery. That's a very different conception. But that's the way the great souls see it, because they see it as it is. It gives you pleasure, you become attached to it, it's stripped away from you beyond your control, and you suffer. You suffer to the degree you're attached. But But Anandamaya Abhyasad is part of Krishna. We're looking for pleasure. So how can we be detached from pleasure? Krishna tells in Gita, by attaching ourselves, param drishtva nivartate, to a higher pleasure. Truth. What gives pleasure to the eternal self is Krishna. Forever. We chant every day, Ram, Hari Rama. Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. Not just the reservoir of some pleasure. In this material world, the greatest things that we sacrifice our lives for are just insignificant muddy puddles of apparent pleasure. But Krishna is the pure, limitless reservoir of all pleasure. Forever. When we seek Krishna, we can find that highest pleasure. Krishna's beauty is the source of all beauty. Not only the source of all beauty, the infinite, never-ending darshan of beauty. Rupa Goswami gives that beautiful verse. If you are attached, special effects to help you contemplate whether you are attached. If you are attached to the beauty of the people around you, to your wealth, to your family, to your prestige, to your youth, if you're attached to all of these things or any of these things, Rupa Goswami says, do not go to Keshigat. Because Keshigat in Vrindavan on the bank of the Yamuna River, Govinda Dev is standing, playing his most confidential associate, the flute, Venu, Bamsi. He's playing upon his flute with his beautiful lotus-like eyes. When we see him, when we realize his beauty and all the beautiful things in the world, we just see as little tiny particles of reflections of his beauty. We're no longer attracted. We're not attracted in ignorance. During that famous morning walk where the sun was setting over the Pacific Ocean, and devotee said to Prabhupada, isn't this a beautiful sunset? Prabhupada taught us how to appreciate beauty on a transcendental level. He didn't say, it's Maya. It's actually ugly. Don't you know with every sunset you're one day closer to death? That's true. That's true for, you know, every different school of religion and philosophy. That with every rising and setting of the sun, we're one day closer to death. We should see it that way. But Prabhupada was seeing it deeper than that. He was saying, he said, if you think the art is beautiful, you should see the artist. In other words, if we see things beautiful in this world, if they remind us of Krishna, if we actually can see Krishna in it, then we're actually seeing the beauty of Krishna even in this world. Srila Prabhupada gave that example of when the Japanese were bombing Calcutta
And everything. There was these bomb warnings, sirens going off, and people were running to underground places. And Prabhupada was just in his little room cooking puris. Everyone was saying, abhai, abhai, the bombs are coming. And Prabhupada even made the sound of the bombs when he was telling this story. I can't do it like Srila Prabhupada. But because he was there. All around him. The buildings around were being destroyed. The bombs were dropping. People were screaming. Sirens were blaring. People are running, scared. Confusion all directions. Srila Prabhupada's making puris. They said, abhai, abhai, come, come, come. The bombs are dropping. Prabhupada knew the drums. Bombs were dropping. He said, I saw that Krishna has appeared in these bombs. So he was making puris for Krishna. For one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for that person I'm never lost, nor are they ever lost to me. This is Bhagavad Gita. To see that all, that Krishna's beauty is behind everything. Krishna's mercy, his love, is inherent in every particle of existence. And our suffering is when we're disconnected from that awareness. We're disconnected from awareness that we are eternal souls. We're part and parcel of Krishna. Mamaivam so jiva bhuta sanat. Rasoham apsukonteya prabhashmi shashishoyayo pranava sarvavedishu shabdike purusham drishu. Krishna teaches us in Gita how to see him. I'm the taste of water. Everything you eat, whatever flavor, is from that water element that's in the food. Everything you drink, that water, that pure element of water, Krishna says, I am the taste of water. I'm the light of the sun and the moon. I'm the sacred syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. And I'm the ability of all people. When somebody does something better than us, our tendency is we become envious or we become depressed. Why can't I do that? Or if somebody does something not as good as us, we can become very arrogant. Just see what I can do. And we want to show how we can do it even better. But Krishna, if we understand things in truth, Krishna is the ability in everyone. Whether I do it or somebody else does it, we're really happy to see that Krishna is doing it. And how we love Krishna is the greatness of our life, not what we accomplish physically. Bhagavad Gita teaches us we have to really try our very best to do in harmony with Krishna's will. Arjuna wasn't, after Bhagavad Gita, just saying, oh, Duryodhana is such a good fighter, it's all Krishna. And he was just sitting there watching. He had to do his duty. But yet he was saying, the ability is Krishna. Duryodhana, he misused that ability. He was taking Krishna's property and Krishna's shakti in the form of what he can, what he knows and what he can do for his own envious, greedy, selfish purposes. And Arjuna, he saw Krishna's giving Duryodhana those things and he's ruining his own life and creating so much suffering in the world. And he used his abilities in Krishna's service. samsudhir hari toshanam. Our success is how Krishna is pleased. That's all. The influence of material conditions in this world is we become so caught up and distracted by the way materialistic people think. But when we nasta praesha padreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya, when we associate with people bhagavats, we see the way they live, we hear their words, and we read the Srimad Bhagavatam according to their realizations, we have another perspective. We actually see every situation as an opportunity to celebrate Krishna's beauty and Krishna's love. So here are the demigods, like Lord Brahma and Indra and Vayu and Varuna and Lord Shiva. They're all coming to Dwarka together because they want to see the infinite beauty of Krishna. And here in this particular chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam, it tells when all these great demigods were standing before Krishna, seeing his beauty, seeing his glory, they were gazing upon him. They couldn't even blink their eyes. The gopis, they were limitlessly greater than the demigods because of their love. Although they were simple cowherd girls, churning butter, putting cow dung on their floors, doing simple chores, making flower garlands like ladies are doing in the back. But when they would gaze at Krishna, they would curse Brahma. Not exactly curse him, but criticize him. For a simple little cowherd girl to criticize Lord Brahma, you have to be quite fearless to do that. Because when the gopis do something, Brahma's watching, he's listening. Brahma is not a good creator because he put these eyelids on our eyes. Yugayatam nameshena chakshusha pravrata shayatam sunyayatam jagat saravam govinda virahenam. Even this little moment, about a twelfth of a second that it takes for the eyelid to involuntarily blink, the gopis are saying, it seems like more than a yuga to us that the vision of the beautiful form of Govinda has been interrupted. So the devatas, they have mystic powers. They don't have to blink. They were unblinking, gazing upon Lord Krishna. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami tells that their vision of Krishna, they were insatiable joy they were receiving just in seeing Krishna. Their eyes were insatiably gazing at Krishna. In the Shantaras, really, greater than entering into the eternal, limitless Brahman effulgence, or moksha, is to see the form of Govinda. In Shantaras, you can have ever-increasing happiness for the rest of eternity, doing nothing else than just sitting and looking at Krishna. Yes, Krishna is ever increasing. Navayoparam cha. and our joy is ever increasing. We don't want to go anywhere. We just, this is fine. Let me just look at Krishna forever. Our eyes never have to blink. But then the higher rasas is when we want to reciprocate more and more, dasya ras. We want to please Krishna not only by just giving our full hearts, seeing Him and being seen by Him, but we want to, in a spiritual form, actively serve Him and please Him. Sakya ras, being His friend. You see, in dasya ras and sakya ras, vatsalya ras, madhurya ras, they are in more each rasa, each relationship with Krishna is higher than the previous because it includes the previous. And they're all based on the principle of giving pleasure to Krishna, not just experiencing the ecstasy of being in the presence of Krishna, but giving pleasure to Krishna. Whether I suffer or not, that's not important. What can I do for you, Krishna? That's a higher manifestation of love. The gopas, as Krishna's friends, they're telling jokes and they're dancing and they're playing limitless types of games and they're helping Krishna herd the cows, and everything is simply for Krishna's pleasure. And Yashoda Mai, Nanda Maharaj, they're willing to go through any type of suffering jubilantly if it gives Krishna pleasure. And the gopis, in that well-known story, they were willing to go to hell for the rest of eternity if it gives Krishna 1 second of pleasure, giving the dust of their feet to put on His head. Without reservation, without second thought. Yes, we're happy to go to hell, but Krishna has a headache. Please bring our foot dust to relieve that headache. They're so intoxicated with an ecstatic love to make Krishna happy. Ashlesya va padaratam panashtu mama darshanam maramahatam karotu va yadadata davidatu lampato matpurananatastu se eva napara. This is prayer of gopis. This is their love. Not Krishna, I'm just so happy to see you. Not Krishna, I'm just so happy to exist in the eternal nature of Brahman. Infinitely higher, deeper. It's interesting how bhakti is described. It's the highest and it's the deepest. Deepest usually means down, and highest usually means up. So any way you go, it's the best. Because it's complete, it's full. It's the highest and the deepest. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving this prayer. And Krishna, if you like, you can embrace me. If you like, you can trample upon me. If you like, you can break my heart by not being present before me. Do anything you like. I am your servant unconditionally. Maro birako bijo ichatoha nityadasa pratituva adhikar. Thakur Bhakti Vinod gives the same message. Krishna, if you like, you can protect me. If you like, you can crush me, you can destroy me, kill me. It's all the same to me. I'm your servant unconditionally. Do as you like. Krishna's pleasure, samsiddhiradhi toshanam, becomes the object of my pleasure. What will make you happy, Krishna? And to the degree we have that unconditional love for Krishna, yayatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyam. Krishna reciprocates. And when Krishna reciprocates, he reveals to us within our hearts, within our very souls, he reveals to us his love for us. And then we feel so insignificant. Our love grows for Krishna, and then Krishna reveals more love for us. And this goes on forever in the spiritual world through the active, dynamic environment of lila, or transcendental pastimes. So the greatest of the demigods, the greatest of the sages, they all came down together to Dwarka. And when they saw the beauty of Krishna, they just insatiably gazed upon Krishna. While they were gazing on Krishna, they weren't thinking about their abodes or the apsaras or any of these other things. Everything's insignificant in the presence of Krishna. And here they are offering beautiful prayers. Happy but painful prayers. Happy because it's an offering of their love. Painful because the content of it. They've come to inform Krishna in a beautiful, prayerful way. After glorifying him, they're giving him the message, especially Lord Brahma on behalf of all the devatas. After they all offer prayers, we're reading those prayers today. Brahma says, we invited you to come into this material world to protect Bhumi Devi, Mother Earth, from all the unwanted demoniac persons who were traversing her and exploiting her and exploiting her children. But you have reestablished the true principles of religion. You have given protection to the pious. You have fulfilled everything that you have descended to do. Now, if it is your wish, you may please go back to your eternal abode and wind up your earthly pastime. Demigods are telling Krishna to go back home, back to Godhead. That you have done everything we asked you to do. There's no need for you to be at this time, they say. At this time, there's no need for you to remain here in this material existence. And Krishna responds by telling, yes, I've come here to do whatever you wanted me to do, whatever you asked, and I've completed all of that, so now I will go. Krishna presents it that I've come as your servant, and I've served you, and now you are telling, you asked me to come, I came, you're telling me to go, I go. Tumi Sarveshwareshwara Brajendra Kumara. Krishna's the controller of the controller of all controllers. Ishwara Parama Krishna. He's the supreme controller. Yet, he's the servant of the demigods. And in Vrindavan, he's the servant of all of his devotees. Krishna is forever serving everyone through material nature on the material platform, he's serving everyone by giving all the resources for us to survive. And on the spiritual level, all the devotees, they just want to serve Krishna. Natanam najanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmaneshwari bhavatar bhaktira hoitaki tvaya. I don't want anything. I just want to serve you unconditionally. Birth after birth, if it's your wish. That is a devotee's desire. Yet, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the spiritual world, everything that exists through his Shakti, through Baladev, through Brindadevi, Vrindavaneshwari, through his Ladini Shakti, everything that's there is provided and facilitated by Krishna to make us happy, making him happy. Our happiness is making him happy, but the whole spiritual world exists to give us happiness in feeling Krishna's love. So Krishna's eternally serving everyone. Fully, thoroughly, totally. And he just wants us to taste the sweetness of prem, of love. Which means according to our insignificant little capacity, we want to serve him. Srila Prabhupada gave the example, you take water with your palms from Mother Ganga and you say, Ganga Mata, please accept this water. And she, Ganga Mata, if it's offered with love, she will forever be grateful for that one little palm full of water. Because she's Krishna Shakti. She's the manifestation of Krishna's divine merciful potency. So here we have in Dwarka the demigods. In this particular verse, as they're making the prelude to telling Krishna, you could go now. Thank you very much. You've done everything we wanted. Please go now. Hopefully we'll do what you want now. But the demigods are very authoritative because they're controllers of how things work in this material world. They're explaining that my dear Lord, you are unconquerable. And this world, this material world, it conquers everything and everyone within material existence. Who is not conquered by time? Queen Kunti, she was, as time, you're destroying everything. Even fear personified is afraid of you. Arjuna was such a great warrior. When he saw Virat Rup, the universal form, he was trembling. He offered some prayers. And then, Krishna, please become Krishna again, my friend. I can't look at you anymore like this. The form of devastation, imminent. The demigods understand. They know how difficult Maya is to overcome. And only through proportionate to our surrender to Krishna, to our genuinely seeking shelter of Krishna, by actually humbling ourselves before Krishna, can there be any relief, true relief, from this material existence? Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, there's an explanation that material existence, this Maya Shakti, it's like a limitless ocean. And trying to cross over it with our knowledge, with our wealth, with our influence, with our abilities, or even with everybody else in the world who has these things. It's like trying to cross the ocean on a boat made out of stone. That's what happens when you go on a boat made out of stone. You go... You're effortlessly synced. There's nothing you can do about it. But those who take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, the ocean reduces to the amount of water contained in a hoof print of a calf. And he says, when we take shelter of Krishna and we take shelter of the lotus feet of those who have taken shelter of Krishna, Gopi Bhartura Kamala Yoradas Das Anudas, then when you go on that boat of the lotus feet of the Lord and his devotees, then we just walk across the boat and you're on the other side of the spiritual world. Because the content of the quantity of the water reduces. So the demigods, they're telling how proper understanding we need of Krishna's pastimes. He's never under the influence of material nature. He's the source of material nature. Tribhir Guna Mayar. He's three modes of material nature can never touch him. Material qualities of goodness, passion, or ignorance can never touch Krishna. His body, his form, his name, his pastimes, everything about Krishna is transcendental, absolutely, completely pure. So anything Krishna does in his lila has to be understood in this content. Otherwise, people avajananti mamudha. We think Krishna is just a regular type of person or maybe a great person in this world. It's foolish. Naham prakasha saravasya. To understand that Krishna is Sachit Ananda. Whatever he does, his pastimes with the gopis, his being chastised and punished by Yashoda Mai, he's apparently telling lies to Yashoda Mai. Even the great wars he fights in Mathura and Dwarka against so many asuras, they're all completely transcendental because he's only doing it for everyone's well-being. There's never selfishness in Krishna's heart. He comes to this beautiful purport, which is taken from the commentaries of great acharyas like Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In Krishna's abode, the demigods know that transcendental abode, Krishna is simply sharing the highest ecstasies of divine love with all living beings. So what is the reason for Krishna come to this world? He doesn't need anything in this world. We're born birth after birth after birth because we're under the illusion that we need something of this world to be happy. And as long as we think we need something of this world to be happy, we keep taking birth again and again and again. And according to how we act to fulfill our needs, there's 8,400,000 species of life. And in each species of life, there's limitless ways to enjoy and suffer. It's an ocean. But when we understand I don't need anything of this world to be happy. I just need to make Krishna happy. And then we go back home, back to Godhead. Because in the spiritual world, that's what everybody is thinking, feeling, and willing. But let us make Krishna happy. And Krishna's forever thinking, let me make my devotees happy. Why does Krishna come to this world? He has 16,108 wives. You know, usually you get married because you want to be happy. Why does he have so many wives? It's just his mercy on one level. On the spiritual level, they are all his divine associates from the spiritual world, like goddesses of fortune who have descended to this world to assist him in his pastimes. But on the worldly level, Bhaumasura, he kidnapped all these princesses, 16,000, and he kept them imprisoned for his enjoyment. And Krishna, just to save them from their condition, he descended and he delivered Bhaumasura. And it's interesting because Bhaumasura is his son, Narakasura. When Varahadev descended into this world, he lifted up Bhumi Devi, Mother Earth, from the ocean. And when he did that, he impregnated Mother Earth with his own child. His name was Bhauma, son of Bhumi. And he was a really nice personality, son of Krishna. But so many lessons to be learned. How important association is. And even though he's a son of Krishna, he's a son of Bhumi Devi, who's an expansion of the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. Due to association with Banasura, he got influenced and he became demoniac. He was so powerful. He was conquering everybody and exploiting so many. And he had all these princesses, 16,000 more and more, that he was exploiting. So to protect his devotees and the innocent, Krishna was willing to kill his own son. Of course, there's no death, but he liberated him from his body. And then all the princesses were released. And they said to Krishna that now that we've been taken by this other person, nobody's ever going to marry us. We're just like waste. People will think that because we spent this time here, we're polluted. As Kshatriyas, we're just garbage now. But we've given our heart to you because we have no one else. And we don't want anyone else either. So here are these ladies who were flung down to the lowest platform where the people of their own community, they were discarded. They had no future. And Krishna gave them the highest position in creation. He made them his own queens. He built magnificent palaces. Each palace was inconceivably more wonderful than Indra's. And he expanded himself 16,108 forms, so he was with each one of them personally, almost constantly. So whatever our situation in this material world, we should remember we're all actually eternal servants of Krishna. Krishna's Dina Bandhu, Dina Dayal. He's merciful. He's the best friend, even of the most fallen. It's not that these princesses were fallen, but they were in a fallen condition. And Krishna brought them up to be his own his own queens. The highest position of his Leela in Dwarka. And similarly, you know, the Bhomasura of the false ego has captured us. But if we just take shelter, if we just give our hearts to Krishna, he can lift us up to the highest position. That is Krishna's power. So Krishna, in his original form of Govinda, he simply has pleasurable pastimes in this spiritual world. He has no connection to the material world. He expands himself so many times. Expands himself as Baladev in the spiritual world. He expands himself a little in the spiritual sky as Shankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Vasudev. He expands himself as Narayan in Vaikuntha planets. And then he expands again as this quadruple form. And then from Shankarshan of this secondary quadruple form, he expands as Mahavishnu. Then he creates the whole cosmic manifestation and activates it, impregnates it with all living beings by his glance. Then he expands as Garbo Dakshayi Vishnu. Mahavishnu is the super soul of the entire cosmic manifestation. Garbo Dakshayi Vishnu is the super soul of each particular universe. Then he expands as Kshirodakshayi Vishnu to be the super soul in the heart of every living being. And then he expands himself as the Gunavatars, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, to enact all the functions of this material universe by supervising the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. So this is all done by the agents of the Lord. But Krishna himself, as Gopinath, he remains in the spiritual world playing. He is Kshirodakshayi Vishnu and all other expansions. But that's Krishna's inconceivable potency. So the demigods here are appreciating this in their worship of Lord Krishna. That you are eternally having the most sweet, loving leelas in the transcendental spiritual world. But yet you expand yourself to facilitate out of your mercy this entire creation. And then you personally incarnate to reestablish the truth. And especially the demigods say, You perform the most wonderful pastimes when you descend into this world, that anyone for the rest of eternity that hears these pastimes and glorifies these pastimes will become purified and go back home, back to Godhead. Just by hearing and chanting the glories that you establish when you descend into this world with a sincere heart, our original love frame is awakened. And this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kabo Noi Saravanadi Sudhi Chaiti Kodi Ayodhva. Pure love for Krishna, Krishna prema, is inherent within the heart of every living being. By hearing about Krishna as he reveals himself when he comes to this world, by hearing about Krishna, by chanting the glories of Krishna, by chanting the names of Krishna, in the association of devotees of Krishna, that love is awakened. That is the supreme dharma. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Is there any questions? Called on him because he's sitting where you usually sit. You're in a different place today. So.
Maharaj, thank you very much for your wonderful wisdom, where you are mentioning that how by Shravanam the perceptions are, right perceptions are developed as we hear how the great souls are seeing this world and how I am seeing this world, so that, you know, the all the complications reduce and experience of suffering is because of the wrong awareness of this world. So I just wanted to clarify for myself is that as we progress in bhakti, we also start doing some kind of kirtan in terms of in our whatever our services are. So, about hearing Srimad Bhagavatam class, I wanted to ask that there is a tendency in us which comes that now I have some kind of right perceptions. So, now it is not so okay because I am speaking also. So, my question is, Maharaj, and there are some very genuine reasons that I have something else to do during Bhagavatam class also, which is my responsibility. So, how much we should, as a brahmachari I'm asking, doing service from last 6-7 years, whatever, how much we should give importance of for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam class, keeping in mind that we are doing kirtan also, and keeping in mind we have responsibilities which are also very important and should be taken care, so that we can follow Maharaj.
You should attend Srimad Bhagavatam class. And with a very eager and sincere heart, hear. With the will to apply these teachings and these examples in our own lives through our service. And being a brahmachari means there's discipline, that you're happy to accept. If you're not happy to accept discipline, then brahmachari ashram is not the right place for you. We want everyone to be happy. So if you're those who are in leadership positions, if they ask you to do something else during Srimad Bhagavatam class, then you do that. Otherwise you should be eager to come to Srimad Bhagavatam class. I remember was in 1972, I believe. One of my god brothers, he wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada because he was at New Vrindavan and he was in charge of plowing the fields to grow crops. And he was utilizing horses and oxen. And during the summer months, which is, because during the winter you can't plow fields because everything's ice and snow. It's like the Himalayas. So there's only a few months you can do that. And he said, it's so hot that the oxen and the horses, they really suffer during the hot times of the day. So the only time I could plow the fields with the oxen is in the early morning, just at the time of sunrise. And, you know, by 10 in the morning, it's too hot. And the evening. So I'm missing Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm missing Bhagavad Gita class. He didn't say I'm missing it. He said the only way I could plow the fields like this effectively is I'll have to miss Bhagavad Gita class. So what should I do? He inquired. He didn't just decide. He inquired. And Prabhupada said, by your plowing the fields, you are living Bhagavad Gita. Haribol. So that's what it means to be servant of the servant. If we have these inquiries, we should inquire from those who are engaging us in service. And then we should be happy to do so. And if we're not specifically asked to do something else, we should be very eager to come to Srimad Bhagavatam class. Does that answer your question?
We'll do this some bond of service that time, and later on we can hear your audio lecture during the day. No, surely we'll make it. So some these kinds of thoughts come in our contaminated
mind. But as a brahmachari, we should appreciate the fortune of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita in the association of devotees. You know, everyone came to the bank of the Ganges together to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami. They weren't saying, well, we'll go somewhere else and listen to the audio recording. Because there's a certain potency and certain charm of being together hearing. That's our tradition. So if there's a necessity to do something else, then yes, we listen to the recording and we'll get the same benefit because there was a necessity. But if the opportunity is there to be in the association of other devotees to equally hear, we should understand that's our process and it's a great blessing. We shall end here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.